We left off yesterday the two challenges. So one challenge was the very unique Shitas HaRambam that Shtaros are only midrabanan, the level of Deraisa, so Edom have to come and testify orally. The PM picks up them, and the whole institution of Shtaros, but the moment is all the midrabanan. So we said that was very startling opinion, and our moderator points out, how can you say such a thing? Gittin exists in that Torah. Woman presents a get 20 years later, walks in the Beis Din with Edom signing at the bottom of the get, and that's going to permit her to remarry. How did you say that that Edus is only an Edus that's binding the Rabban? That was the thrust of the Rabban's question. Then we had a second dilemma yesterday. The Gemara at the beginning of the fourth paragraph of Sanhedrin tells us that Min HaTorah, all of Dinim Amnus required Drish V'Chakira. Whenever you have anything to hear about the broken window, about a loan, about a partnership, about a sale, the Beis Din is required to interrogate the Edom to the same degree that they have to interrogate Edom of Din Nefashos. Mishmerech and Yelachem. With the Rabbanon, on a later date, they did away with that to make life easy for people to be able to collect money. But with the Raisa, the Imamis, the Nefashos, all the same in terms of Jewish Hakira. And the Gemara seemed to say that that's true for Shtaros as well. And that's why the Gemara posed the challenge. How could a shtar that's post-dated, a shtar beruch, how could that be kosher? What happens in the Jewish Hakim? The Gemara explains, but the Rabbanim, the whole Shil Torah, the fourth Bible, the seventh Sanhedrin, it's clear from the Gemara that the basic requirement of Jewish Hakim applies equally to shtaros. The problem was, and we know for a fact that's not true. The Gemara says explicitly in the second Bible, the Gittin, that the only reason why we write a date in a get is for pure Rabbanon, a technicality, we're afraid she's going to be mizadish, you steal the fruit, there's kind of technical glitches if you don't have a date in a get. But there's nothing per se in that Torah that's requiring us to write a date in a get. So that's the case. Then you clearly don't need Jewish Hakira by Shtaros. So what is going on in the Shtaros? Shtaros is one of the riddles of Halacha. How does it exist in the first place? The Pir Mabrik Savam. And once we're saying that it exists, somehow, the Gemara says you do need Jewish Hakira, but another place clearly denies the requirement of Jewish Hakira. What is going on? So it's these two challenges that brought about a famous Shabbat Torah of Chaim in the Shtaros. We began a little bit yesterday to explain it based on the principles of Shtar Kinyan and Shtar Rayas, but a little bit further in the Reb Chaim, and then try to kind of put together all the pieces of the puzzle as to what is really behind this entire sugya. Reb Chaim poses a challenge, which is actually really a series of challenges, to the equation of Resh Lakish and Atzugya. Edom HaChasum HaShtar, Nasek Mishanech Reduzim Leizim. That's the principle that's governing Shtaros. When Edom signed a document, it's as if their Edus was interrogated, as if their Edus was accepted, and Edom HaChasum HaShtar, Nasek Mishanech Reduzim Leizim. Says Reb Chaim, really? Is that true? All the halachas that govern Hilchas Eidos really truly govern Shtaros are bringing a rise to Reb Chaim. That's not true. We know there's a principle in Eidos. Eidos has to be given by day. If two Eidos walk the base at night, the whole Eidos is bottom. That's not said to be an Eidos at all. According to the overwhelming majority of Rishonim, even with the evidence no good, Eidos, it's Kaba Belaila, is literally commanded the laser gun. It doesn't exist. And yet, we all know you can sign a Shtar at night. The Mishnah, we just looked at the Mishnah Mekiv just a couple of days ago. Nechta Bayom, Nechta Balayla. The Mishnah speaks about signing Shtaros at night. We don't sign Shtaros at night. We don't get married now. We don't have to sign Kesubas at night. Of course, we're not going to sign Shtaros at night. There are some who have a practice not to have a get at night for technical, logistical reasons. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Sugis down the line. But in terms of Shtaros, there is nothing wrong with signing a Shtar at night. So yes, Reb Chaim Elul, if you really believe in this principle of Eidim HaChasuvim HaMashtar, Nasach Mishnech HaYudus V'Beisdin, that an Eidus and a document, witnesses that saw the document alike, they were accepted and interrogated in Beisdin, the very Allah of Laila points out that is clearly not the case. So it is obvious, says Reb Chaim, that when you see this equation, Eidim HaChasuvim Nasach Kimi, that word Kimi, Ki, Kafadir, it's like. Whenever Chazal used the phrase Ki or Kimo, you always have to ask the question, does that mean it's identical? Kim means identical, or Kim means similar? Is there a certain similar outcomes that result of a shtar that similarly results from an Eidus Ba'al-Peh, but it by far does not mean to say that it's identical. So what is the difference? What is the nekuda that differentiates a shtar from an Eidus Ba'al-Peh? So Reb Chaim answers as follows. The Prisker, classic Prisker interpretation, says Reb Chaim, there are some halachas of Eidus that emanate mitzad ha'edim. There are some halachas that govern the status of the Eidim problem. Say, for example, who is kosher to be an Eid? A relative is supposed to be an Eid. A Rosh is supposed to be an Eid. A Katan is supposed to be an Eid. Those are halachas that determine the kashas of the Eid and the Gav and the Eidim themselves. Vis-a-vis those halachas, it doesn't matter whether you're an Eid Baal Peh, whether you're an Eid Bishtar. The same people who can't testify and based it orally cannot sign on a document either. You can't have a Kutman sign a document. You can't have a Rosh. You can't have a Karov sign a document. Because those are halachas that emanate from Hilchos Eidim. Then there's another aspect of Eidus, says Reb Chaim. It doesn't start from the Eidim. Rather, there are dinim of Eidus that emanate from the Beisdin's vantage point. The Beisdin has to have a certain Tzura Beisdin. The Beisdin has certain halachas that govern it. In order to have a Kabbalah's Eidus, Kabbalah's Eidus has to be the Beisdin. So there are some halachas that govern who the kosher Eidim are. There are other halachas that govern the role of the Beisdin. Says Reb Chaim, the din of Ein Kabbalah's Eidus Balayla. Well, in Zafim Sukkim, you can't even Kabbalah's Eidus Balayla. Why is that? There's something wrong with the Eidim. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the person's kosher. At 2 o'clock in the morning, the person's kosher. What's the difference? It's the same Eidus. What's the difference? The Torah says is that one of the halachas that governs based cannot function at night. Now, whether you think that that's just because there's a custom, for example, Sukkim, and there's no reason to it, or whether you think that there's almost like a rationale to it, that in order to enable the basin to concentrate a little bit more, that's what some achrayim suggest, that maybe, if the lights are on, so right now it's 6:30 in the morning and it's pitch black outside, but the lights are on here, so we couldn't tell the difference whether it's day or night. I feel that's still a little bit night. So some achrayim want to argue that maybe you can have a din Torah at night if the lights are on. So whether you think that halacha of not having a din Torah at night, that's what's in the night, is a pure just a cost of whether there's some kind of a reason rationale to it is a different story. But Kuliyamlo, everybody agrees, that's a based in the Kalocha, it's not an Eidus in the Kalocha. And says Reb Chaim, that is where Eidus Be'al-Peh and Eidus Bishtar part ways. That in Eidus Bishtar, when witnesses sign a document, it's Nasek Mishnech or Eidus Be'al-Peh, but listen carefully, where is that Eidus being given? Two people are signing a document. Reuven's two witnesses are signing the document. And we say, oh, the moment that the document was signed, it's as if the Eidus was this Kabbalah Beisdin. It didn't get anywhere near Beisdin. The Beisdin didn't even read this document yet. Nasek Mishnech Eidus Beisdin. What that phrase means, as Reb Chaim is that an Eidus Bishtar is an Eidus that the Torah accepts that doesn't require a Kabbalah Beisdin. That's exactly what Eidus Bishtar is. It's a different mode, it's a different form of Eidus. It's an Eidus that the halacha accepts. It's an Eidus shalmai b'beizdin. So unlike an Eidus Ba'al-Peh, where the Torah gives the model of Amdushteh, Nashma Shalahem, Arim of Hashem, that's one model. Two Eidim walk into Beizdin, and they talk to the Beizdin, so the Eidim speak, they are the Eidus. So that's one model of Eidus. The other model of Eidus happens outside of the court. It happens in somebody's living room. Two Eidim sign that Reuben wants to sell a field to Shimon. Two Eidim sign that Reuben wants to lend $1,000 to Shimon. And once they put the signatures on it, it's Nasek Mishnech Eidus Beisdin. Nasek Kimi. Not literally Kinech. Not literally Nechkara. It wasn't Nechkara. There wasn't Nechkara. It's Nasek Kimi Shenech Eidus Beisdin. So says Reb Chaim, whenever you look at the details of Hilchos Eidus, you have to always ask yourself, do these halachas apply to an Eidus Bishtar? The answer is it depends, says Reb Chaim. Any halacha that emanates from the Eidim themselves, so an Eidus Bishtar requires kosher Eidim. But any halacha that emanates from the Beis Din's role doesn't apply to shtaros. By definition, doesn't apply to shtaros because a shtar is an eidus shel leg of Beis Din. So if you had to really formulate what is a shtar is an eidus shel leg of Beis Din. That's exactly what a shtar is. It's a chalos eidus. It's an application of the eidus, albeit without all the trimmings and the trappings of a Beis Din. Therefore, says Rav Chaim, there is no requirement that a shtar be signed in the daytime. Because day versus night is not halacha nechus eidus. Day versus night is halacha nechus Beis Din. And a shtar, by definition, doesn't require a Beis Din.
Would the testimony be halacha eidus as opposed to halacha nechus Beis
Din?
Basically testifying as to what happened.
Right, but it's an eidus. You're right, but it's an eidus. It's a chalashem of eidus. The eidus is chal. The minute they put the paper, they gave it eidus. And the Torah says, you don't need a Beis Din for that Eidus. Beis Din doesn't have to read the shtar. If and when Beis Din reads the shtar in 20 years from now, they'll deal with the shtar. But the Eidus is Tofes, the Eidus is Chal, from the moment that they put their names on the paper. We're going to Rambam. But we're going to get to this. This is part of Chaim's solution to the problem with the Rambam. Right. Right, that's the punch. Well, that's the second half of Rambam. We're going to get to that point. Yeah, we're going to get to that. So comes Rambam Chaim and says, that explains why a shtar can be signed at night. Says Rambam Chaim, that principle now explains a lot of other things about a chashtaris. Why a chashtaris parts ways from regular days, from regular ages. Says Rambam Chaim, obviously a shtar doesn't require derisha v'chakira min haTorah. There's no way that a regular document could require derisha v'chakira. The Gemara says in Gittin Daf Yedzayim, b'nei mat tiknus man begittin. Why did Chazal institute writing a time and a get, implying that min haTorah there's no need to? Why not? Why manishtar ashtar from regular eidus? Says Reb Chaim, the same word. What is this halacha of derisha v'chakira? Derisha v'chakira is not a din in the eidus. It's a din in the dayonim. It's a din in the Beis Din. It's a chiyuv that's incumbent upon the Beis Din to do the homework. Two Eidim walked the Beis Din, the two kosher fellows. They gave his door. They say that Reuben broke Shimon's window. They say Reuben killed Shimon. They gave it an Eidus. That's the Eidus. We time the Eidus. The Eidus is over. Now there's a mitzvah. How does the Torah even phrase Drish Hakira? V'darashta v'chakarta v'shavalta itay. Who is that pasuk speaking to? It's not talking to the Eidim. It's talking to the Dayanim. You, Beis Din, have an obligation. Don't just trust these guys. Interrogate them, question them, challenge them, make sure they're telling the truth, make sure they're not going to lie to you. With the Rash, that mitzvah, Drish V'chakira, that requirement, Drish V'chakira, that was given to Dayanim. Thank you very much. That's what you're dealing with, Eidus Balpeh. You're dealing with an Eidus Mishtar, which doesn't require Beis Din, because that's the very definition of a Mishtar. A Mishtar is an Eidus Shalot, which they Beis Din. But mainly, there's no requirement of the Rashi Chakar. Therefore, there is no derivation of Kira. So it's not working with that word. Sanhedrin, getting it with it. Reb Chaim didn't forget that was the original challenge he's trying to solve. What Reb Chaim just did now, in one fell swoop, is that he just showed you that all the halachas that Shtaros part ways from Eidus Balpeh make sense. It's not just an arbitrary thing. Oh, no derivation of Kira. Oh, Lila's okay. It's fine. It's a classic Reb Chaim. He takes an array of different halachas. He just literally reads the Gemara, puts together all the halachas and says, clearly, shtar and Eidus Balpeh are parting ways. They part ways vis-a-vis Laila. The parting ways vis-a-vis Drish V'chakira. What is the underlying rationale behind that parting of ways? So Reb Chaim says, this is not arbitrary halachas that don't fit a pattern. The pattern is very clear. The pattern is simple. The pattern is, are these halachas of Eidus, Mitaba Eidus, Mitaba Eidim, or are these halachas of Mitaba Beis Din? And a shtar, by definition, is an Eidus Ofer Beis Din. And now Reb Chaim comes from his punchline, and he says, and there's a third halacha that a shtar parts ways with from an eidus with their Beis Din. That's the din of mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam. This halacha of mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam, what kind of halacha is this? Is this a halacha that's part of a chas eidus, or is this a halacha that's part of a chas Beis Din? So this is where Reb Chaim comes up with his grandiose chiddush in shtaros. That says that the chisaron of the piyam lo mitzavam is nothing to do with the Eidim. The Eidim are honest guys. We know these guys. They're trustworthy fellows. If they would walk at the base and tell us the story with their mouth, we would accept them. Now that they sent the piece of paper and presented it to the base, and we don't accept them. They say, what's wrong with the Eidim? Says Reb Chaim, there's nothing wrong with the Eidim. There's something wrong with the protocol of the base. The PMO picks up is it didn't Beis Din. Beis Din are not supposed to read documents. Beis Din are supposed to interrogate Eidim. Beis Din are supposed to speak to people directly. It's almost like a quasi-Jewish Hakira type of halacha. That the goal of Jewish Hakira is obviously to get to the bottom line. Beis Din should be absolutely comfortable with what they're being makabel. I read a story, you know, picture postcard. I don't know exactly what's in between the lines. The whole halacha, the whole give and take of the Yonim and Eidim lends itself to an Eidim Bapad, doesn't lend itself to an Eidim Bashtar. So, that the halacha is that Mipil Lo Biksav, that's when you're dealing with an Eidos of Beis Din. When you're dealing with a different kind of an Eidos, that's called the three magic letters, a star. Once you have a halachic star, then the game is over. Then there never was a did a field of Iksavim, so a Mela star is going to be kosher. The only thing is, you have to reach the point of having a halachic star. Otherwise, you get yourself you're talking in circles. You're saying that, no, as long as you have a star, then you don't have a problem field of Iksavim. But where do you cross that line? At what point do I say, I have a star, and once I have a star, then all the halachas of Beis Din don't bother me. I couldn't care less about Laila, and I couldn't care less about Rishi Chakira, and I couldn't care less about Pil Brik Savam. What is a star, and what is not a star? Because the Chaim says, this goes back to square one. This goes back to yesterday, to the end of the year yesterday. The Chaim developed the Yisod also took it right out of the Gemara Masechet Gittin, the end of the first parak, that there are two kinds of shtaros in halacha. There's a star kinyan, and there's a star raya. A star kinyan means a star that affects a status change in halacha. So we threw out a few examples of those shtaros. The primary deal being a get. But a get is given. A get is not just a proof as to what happened. A get is creates the facts on the ground. This is creating what's going to happen. This woman is going to become muteres because there's a get that's been given, not just as a proof. It could be in 20 years from now we're going to use the get to prove the story of that. That's true, but irrelevant. That's not our discussion right now. So we're trying. A get is a classic shtar kiddushin. Let's say because of shtar kiddushin. A shtar kiddushin is not a proof that he married her. This is the way he marries her. If he wants to give her a ring, kiddushin kesef matoy. If he wants to give her shtar, that's also okay. A shtar kiddushin is a shtar kinyan. A shtar mechira is also a shtar kinyan. A shtar mechira soda, the sub chosum, a sefer chosum, this is the mechanism of mechira. Will it also serve as a proof down the line? Maybe, but that's not our discussion. Without the star, if you didn't do any other Maisa Kinyan, you do Kesef, Chazal, you do Maisa Kinyan, the Mechira Sada is not valid. The house did not change ownership. Shichur of a Kenayani, also, that the person frees it of a Kenayani. So one of the mechanisms of freeing it of a Kenayani is with the star. This is what changes the facts on the ground. Before the star was given, he was an Evan. Now the star is given, he's a Ben Chayrin. So there are facts on the ground that are being changed by the essence of the star itself. That's what's called the star kinyan. A shtaraya is nothing at all like that. A shtaraya is, I sold you a field 6 months ago. We went to all the proper Maisa Kinyan, we did the Kinyan Kesef, Chazaka, Chalipa, whatever Kinyan we did. And now it's in everybody's best interest that there should be some kind of a documentation, some kind of a proof that Mechira took place. The shtar that's being written up now is not the shtar that's actually creating the transfer of ownership. It is simply a proof that a transfer of ownership occurred at some previous day. That's a huge difference, as we've got, between the shtar kinyan and shtar raya. And again, the Gemara has explicitly in the first book of Gittin, but this is not just an academic difference, it's important halacha ramification of this as well. Says Reb Chaim, this is the answer to the secret of the Rambam. The Rambam makes the sweeping statement that shtaros ein cholchus adin b'din mamonos ha-shtar min ha-Torah. You can't use a shtar and a beis din min ha-Torah to prove anything. Why? We can't help something. Says Reb Chaim, what the Rambam means clearly is as follows. That if you want to start a story with a shtar raya, you want to, I want to lend you money, I want to sell your field, and then a week later we're going to start to write up a document. And the goal of this document is to serve as a shtar raya. That is the role. This document is not a kinyan. Kinyan was done already last week. This document is going to serve as a raya. As a raya? Really? Where's the raya? The people of Iksavim? That's not a raya. Minatorah, you want to be a raya, you have to be two Eidim. Anything short of that is not binding in a Torah. Midirabbanon, to make it a corner, to make life easy for people, but we're still in the love of the raya, says Rav. You want to start the ball rolling with the shtar raya, Go show me a pasuk chumash that there's a shtaraya. Where anywhere does the Torah speak about a shtaraya? The only thing the Torah says about a shtaraya is that it doesn't work. The pia lo piksum. What kind of shtaras does the Torah sanction? We mentioned there are four shtaras that appear in the Torah world. One is a get, one is a shtar kedushin, one is a shtar mechira, and one is a shtar shechra or never k'naidin. Says Reb Chaim, all of those shtaras are shtar kinyan that the Torah accepts. The Torah says that you can have a concept of a shtar, assuming it's a shtar kinyan. And here's the breakthrough, says Reb Chaim Midas Rabbah. Once the shtar serves as a shtar kinyan, that means we are accepting it as a legal entity. We are saying this is a shtar. The halacha recognizes this as a meaningful piece of paper. It's not verbatim like a sharaya. In the Torah, in the Beis Din Moshe Rabbeinu, again, that means something. It is affecting the divorce. In the Beis Din Moshe Rabbeinu, shtar kedushin is meaningful. It is creating a marriage. Once it gets the same shtar to it, then it enters into a new world. It enters into the parish of shtar. And the parasha shtar teaches me that we can use a shtar subsequently as a shtar raya midda araisa, notwithstanding the fact that there is an otherwise halacha because the piyav lo piksavam was never said on something that's an entity of a shtar. Because once it's a shtar, it takes on a life outside of Beis Din. You don't have to get married in Beis Din. You don't have to sell fields of Beis Din. You don't have to be shachar avon of Beis Din. And even the one opinion that says you have to give a get in Beis Din, that's for different halacha legamrei, right? Shtaras don't have to take place in Beis Din. They take place in your living room. So once a shtar is chal, that's what we can get to be chal in the Torah, because it has to start off as a shtar kinyan. But once a shtar is chal as a shtar, it becomes a halachic legal document called the shtar. Then it could serve as a raya min ha-Torah, notwithstanding the fact that it has all the halachas of Beis Din missing. There's no Jewish Hakira min ha-Torah, it's Balayla min ha-Torah, it's a Piksava min ha-Torah. None of that matters, but what does matter, says Reb Chaim Midas Rabbah, you have to get the ball rolling. And the only way to get the ball rolling, the only kind of shtar that the Rambam recognizes, that the Torah recognizes according to the Rambam, is a shtar kinyan that now is nefach to become also a shtar raya. Right, right. But the Rambam holds that there is a get mid to a raisa that would work through signature. The Rambam holds, again, this is a loaded sugya later on. The Rambam holds that in theory you can create a get mid to a raisa without a misibra. As long as you have a chasibah, that would work with a Torah. Again, not everyone agrees with that Rambam, but within the world of Rambam, that's true. So now, says Yom Chaim, now we can go back to that very, very cryptic Gemara, Maseches Sanhedrin. But the Gemara discusses Jerisha, the Chakira on Shtaros. Remember we said, the Gemara starts out by saying, oh, Shtar Me'uchar. How in the world is Shtar Me'uchar Gosher? A post-dated document, how is that Gosher? Where's the Jerisha, the Chakira? And you just got finished telling me, did a moment is required, Jerisha, Chakira? So the Gemara says, Gevalt, you're right. That Mishnah, the Shmias, that says that Shtar Me'uchar is Gosher, that's a proof that Chazal at one point must have removed the requirement for Dushra Chakira by Dini Mamanis. That's the proof. So we have a starting point, Dini Mamanis, Dini Nefashos, Mishperecha, required Dushra Chakira, and all of a sudden this Mishnah tucked away in Shvius, that ignores it, says, well, there must be somebody changed it along the way. So he asks the question, we need somebody changed it along the way. This is Ishtar. Ishtar never required Dushra Chakira. What's the Gemara talking about? How can the Gemara bring a Raya, no pun intended, a Raya from Ishtar and Uchar, that you don't need Jewish Chakira by all Dini Mamanis? All you see for that Mishnah is that you don't need Jewish Chakira by Shtaros. But we know that already. We already read Reb Chaim. We read Reb Chaim already convinced us. If we're in Gittin, Yedayim convinced us. You don't need Jewish Chakira by Dini Mamanis. So how in the world did the Gemara think that the halachas of Jewish Chakira apply to Shtaros? Didn't the Gemara realize right away? The Gemara in Gittin, Yedayim tells us explicitly, Shtaros don't need Jewish Chakira. Says Reb Chaim, no, the answer is very simple. When do shtaros not require Jewish Chakira min haTorah? That's when you have a shtar that is halachically a shtar. But again, according to the Rambam, in order to halachically be a shtar, it has to start off as a shtar kinyan. A get starts off as a shtar kinyan. So a get doesn't need a zman. A shtar kiddushin, a shtar bechira, a shtar shechrev kinaini. Those shtaros that start off as shtar kinyan, those take on the halachic status of being a shtar. A shtar means an aid of shalom for Beis Din. And the same way that those shtaros don't require yom and don't require and don't require a dishkira, don't require a material ksava, all the halachas that don't govern shtaros, so dishkira doesn't appear in such a shtar. But what is the Gemara talking about in Sanhedrin and fourth paragraph? The Gemara is not talking about a shtar kinyan. The Gemara is talking about a loan. That's what the context of the Mishnah is. I lent you $1,000 and instead of dating it on Chavzai Kislev, I dated it on Chavtes Kislev. So I made it as a shtar ucher. That's not a shtar kinyan. That's a shtar raya. The loan already took place an hour ago. Now we're writing up the documentation to make sure that everyone remembers that the loan took place. That's a shtar raya. A shtar raya is not really called a shtar. According to the Rambam's breakthrough, only a shtar kinyan, which becomes a shtar raya, is called a shtar in halacha. What's a shtar raya? We call it a shtar, we don't know what else to call it. You know what a shtar raya is? A shtar raya is an edus that really is no good. It has all the problems to it. It's an edus, which is the PLO big suffer. It's not a shtar, therefore it's an outright possible edus midaraisa. But with the Rabbanon, they looked away. But they said, all right, it's big suffer. All right, Nishkefash. So those we want the economy to go up to lend money easily to people. So we're going to be vater on that. So we're going to say with the Rabbanan, we're going to accept an edus, even though it's b'chsav. It bothers us, and we realize that we're going up against the pasuk of chumash. We're going to do hefkadeis and hefker. There's a big victory. We have to get the loan people lending money. So with the Rabbanan, we're going to let that. Is it a shtar? A shtar. A shtar in the Torah is only when it starts off as a shtar kinyan. It's an Eidus B'chsav that Chazal looked the other way on. It's an Eidus B'chsav, so then it's still subject to all the other rules of Hilchos Eidus. What are some of the other rules of Hilchos Eidus? Drish v'chakira. So talk about the Gemara's question. Hey, wait a second. We should insist on Drish v'chakira in this, I can't even say the word shtar, but in quotation marks, in this Eidus B'chsav that the halacha doesn't really recognize, but with the Rabbanu will make believe that it's okay, but it's still subject to Drish v'chakira. That's why the Gemara asked Drish HaKira. The only reason why the Gemara dreamt that there should be Drish HaKira by this piece of paper is because this piece of paper is not a shtar. It's a Negus B'chsav, it's not a shtar. And what makes it not a shtar is because it's not a shtar kinyan. It's only a shtar raya. Which the Gemara said, you're right, that we really should have insisted on Drish HaKira, but Vaitish, if we're going to be too tough on these documents, no one's going to want to send... To lend money anymore. We have to do away with Drish HaKira and Dinei Mamonos. We have no choice. We have to toss out Drish HaKira and all of Dinei Mamonos, albeit the Dinei Mamonos. The bottom line breakthrough of Reb Chaim is that, again, there was a lot of time over the next couple of days, can read through the 2.5 pages of Reb Chaim, but the bottom line breakthrough of Reb Chaim is really on multiple levels. His first breakthrough is to explain the difference between Shtar Kinyan and Shtar Raya. That is the Yesod of the Shittas HaRambam. Wait, what did the Raya say and what did not? The second big breakthrough of time is that whenever you have halachas, in halachas edus, you have to always ask yourself that pointed question. Are these halachas that are stemming from the edus? Is this halachas that are stemming from the dayonis, from the basin? Any halacha that stems from the edus, so that halacha applies equally to an edus mishtar. If you cannot have psulim, you can have tanim, you can't have rishoyim signing documents, you have to have kosher edus. Any halacha that stems from Hilchos Beis Din, such as the requirement of Yom, such as the requirement of Drish HaKira, such as the requirement of the people of Yisavim, all of those halachas are now are irrelevant when you're dealing with an Eidus Mishtar, because an Eidus Mishtar is goof for an Eidus without the requirement of Kabbalah's Eidus Beis Din. That's the essence of a Mishtar. So when Rish Lakish made that statement, Eidim HaChasumin al Mishtar Naaseh Kavish Nechu Eidus Beis Din, he didn't say, they had an Eidus Bebezin. That's not true. It was Nish Nechkaru. Nechkaru means Drish HaKira. It's Nish Nechkaru, Nish Bezin. The whole statement is not true of Rish Lakish because we misread Rish Lakish. We thought Rish Lakish was giving us an equation. He wasn't doing that. Rish Lakish was making an observation that Eidim Achasuma Ashtar accomplished the same thing that Eidim Achasuma Bezin don't be accomplished. Just as the Torah accepts the dinim of Eidus Shenechra Bevezdin, so too the Torah accepts Eidim Achasim Rosh Shtar, assuming that it's a Shtar. Shtar can't remember the definition of Shtar is. So the equation of Shlokesh was never ever, there was no equal sign of Shlokesh's statement. It was a very much a Kafa Dinyun. It accomplishes all the feats of an Eidus Bevezdin. Remember, I was once, yes, to sign a Tsuba, and I had to run to another wedding also. So I shied the super kedushin, and I zoomed out the door. So the Sadeh Kedushin asked me, he said, "Well, you're not staying for the chuppah." I said, "I wish the mouse, I gotta go." So I looked him straight in the face. I said, "I'm Rish Lakish, Edim Achasubah Shtah, Nasdaq Kedushin. I done it. I was made amazing, man. You heard it here." So he should have responded back to me, "Kodj Chaim wasn't really made amazing." Good enough. So Rabbi said, so we taught the same way to see him on the Sigur Shtar, which is be able to build a splash the surface.
The Shtar King,
the
there shouldn't matter if it's a
mover. Well, it's better than it's a mover. You don't even need it. You don't need a date. A ksuba is a Shtar Raya. A ksuba, we never do a Shtar condition today. We do a ksuba. A ksuba is a Raya. First, the chassid is b'shabbat himself to pay the money to the ksuba. And then we sign a document that effect that he's chayav to. So ksuba is a classic shtar. There's no kinyan in a ksuba. If we would do a shtar kiddushin, then you don't need a day. Forget about mucha, you don't need a day.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
but
it's not. So
the
eight days kiddushin,
you can see it at night. Oh, because it's not eight days of days, right? Because eight days for kiddushin is not eight days of days. It's eight is the kiyum. So eight is the kiyum, you can have at night. You can't have an eight days at night. If we would have a din Torah and all of a sudden the Eidim would come spatzirin to base to testify, that would be a problem. But the role of the Eidim Kedushin are Eidus the Kimadam, they're not Eidus, not Eidim who are coming to base. So the halacha of life has nothing to do with the Eidus problem. We can still get married, right? Okay. Get married. We get married at Hanukkah. Also get married at Hanukkah, right? Remember that one? Okay. Two people got married at Hanukkah. Okay. So, and it was Hanukkah night also, right? I was getting married at Hanukkah night. So, Eidus is good. Okay. So, hello. That's the tricky thing. So it's not a mukta because we date it the day of the wedding. But the problem becomes when you sign a ksuba at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the wedding until 6 o'clock at night, that becomes a loaded question. So there are different ways to get around that mukta problem. So the whole context of Esugya, the whole reason why we're talking about shtaros is because we're basically addressing the following issue, that a get is being delivered and we're being very, very lax in terms of what kind of a validity to this get we're giving. We're not insisting on 283 Mukayim to get. We're letting one near Shliach get up and base it and say, B'fai Nechta, B'fai Nechta. Gemara raised the question, wait a second, how does that work? Pishnai Vedi Yachum Dover. The answer is, B'natorah, you don't need them all together. Why don't you need them in a Torah? Because of B'shlachish statement, Eidim Achasim Lashtah, Nas B'shlach, with this basement. So that principle of B'shlachish is what's now propelling the entire Sugya of the Nemonos of B'shlich, the Nemonos of the Erevah. So this sugya just gave us the background as to when shtaros work, which don't work, what is this shtar, etc. But now, from the next sugya, we have to take all that and see, well, what's really happening here? What's really playing out here is the shliach is saying, and then a week later, the husband's coming yelling and screaming to Bezin that the shtar is mezuyah. And we laugh him off Minatara. We say, forget about it. We don't need Minatara. We don't listen to Minatara because of Rish Lakish, Eidmach, so Rosh Dar. So basically, the Gemara is saying is that we don't reckon with Tainas Mezuyah in the Torah. That is the outcome, that is the outgrowth of the Rish Lakish statement. Because the Eid of Achsul Ashtar commission of the Torah, whatever that means, Ramah, Ramban, but because of that, therefore Tainas Mezuyah doesn't exist. Hopefully, the next sugya, you have to take a step back and say, wait a second, what are the parameters of that statement? It means in the Torah, we never, ever accept the Tainas Mezuyah. In the Torah, the Shtar just carries the day on its own. You don't need any key whatsoever. So that's on Friday. We have to fine tune that a little bit. What are the parameters of this assumption of the Gemara now that Titus was with the husband is null and void in the Torah? Mr. Shimon Friday.
Mazel Tov.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Tuesday, yeah. Tuesday's the first.